What is up with Kanye West? I got to be honest with you. What I'm doing today is out of my area of comfort. It isn't very often that I take a look at what's going on in society and kind of take my cue from that. But to be honest with you, he's been getting under my skin for the last 3 weeks. I got a text from my son 3 weeks ago, said, "Hey, what do you think about Kanye?" And I answered, "Nothing." Because I don't know what to think. And more than anything else, that was about me than it was with Kanye. And we're going to walk through that. But I think there's a teachable moment for us. We're going to use Kanye West and all that's going on in his life kind of as a launching pad into to touch our hearts and to maybe give us a little bit of footing on how we proceed from this time forward. But this is more about us than it is about Kanye, just being a little opportunistic. Now, let me ask the question, because it's possible. Is there anybody in this room, not likely but possible, is there anybody in this room who has no idea who Kanye is? All right, Kanye West is a well-known, famous musician in our world today. He is known for famously being mercurial in his temperament. He is famous for being married to a Kardashian who's famous for being famous. He has famously spoken and honestly about his own personal struggles with mental health. He is an influencer, if you want to call him that. He is one that people in society take note of. He is a pop culture icon. And he has recently given his life to Jesus Christ and more recently released an album of songs dedicated to Jesus. The name of the album is Jesus is King. A successful musician, a significant level of fame and wealth. He once called himself a god in one of his songs. He also, going back about 8 or 9 albums ago, wrote a lyric in desperation, said, "Lord, help me, the devil's trying to take me." He's always had some level of spirituality, some level of conflict in his life with his misogynistic lyrics, with his kind of fleshly lifestyle. And recently, as he's begun to have children, the spiritual aspect of life has begun to encroach on him. Once women were for him something to be conquered, now as he has daughters, there's something to be protected. And so has created within him a crisis of sorts, and he's been looking to the Lord in these recent days of his life. On Friday at the Starbucks, I put my earbuds in and I listened to the entirety of his new album. And to be frank with you, I was surprised. I had a series of emotions. One of the emotions a second emotion I had was, "Oh, that's funny." There's a line in a song that says this: "Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. You're my number one with the lemonade." That's great. Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A, you're my number one with the lemonade. The song does proceed to become really relatively thoughtful. But I'm laughing at the Starbucks listening to Kanye. And I tell you, people who saw me with my earbuds in, nobody thought that guy is listening to Kanye. You know, there wasn't a single person there thinking that guy right there. If they kind of looked around and saw me, they would have had a comment about me. You know, clearly, that's the unhippest guy in this entire Starbucks. He's not listening to Kanye. I don't know what he's listening to, but it's not Kanye. On one occasion, I was moved to joyful tears. A song that's called Selah. Here's the lyric. John 8:36, "To whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He saved a wretch like me." And then there was a beautifully artistic rendering of the word hallelujah 41 times, which culminated with the choir saying, "He is wonderful." It's beautiful. Another song called Hands On. He says, "Told the devil I'm going on a strike. I've been working for you my whole life." Hallelujah. told the devil, I'm going on a strike. I've been working for you my whole life. And then the very last words of the song, of the album, the song called Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. One thing that Kanye has proven to be is very interested in having people think about him. He has been a publicity hound. And as you listen through the album, the striking thing was the lack of Kanye. He was there vocally from time to time, regularly. It was his album, but what was most present was the voices of others. Choirs singing to the Lord God, of the Lord God. It was more church choir than it was Kanye, which seems to be a transition in his priorities. He confesses that he, Kanye West, has given his life to Christ, which seems odd. It seems like that is out of place. But it isn't entirely out of the blue. A couple of years ago, I had in a blog I was reading referenced a performance of Kanye's on Saturday Night Live when he was together with Kirk Franklin and he was together with Chance the Rapper, and the entire progress of the performance there was spiritual in nature and had tones of the resurrection. Again, going back to the beginning of his career, there's one particular line in an early song where it said, Lord, help me, the devil's trying to take me. There's always been some level of spirituality, it appears, in Kanye's life. And there's more to be said about Kanye. I have more opinions, none of them grounded, none of them thoughtful, none of them helpful. Rather, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn our attention to the first of two video clips that we're going to consider this morning to kind of help us launch out into what are we to do with Kanye? What is up with Kanye? The first one's right here, right now.
Now, what's a regular night in for you and Kim now? Kanye and Kim, they got nothing to do Tuesday night. What are they doing?
I don't like going out at nighttime. I like being at home with my family at night as much as possible.
So what is that night? What do you do?
We'll eat dinner and we'll play with the kids and then we'll put the kids to bed and then we go to bed. And then my wife watches Dateline.
So she watches Dateline?
Yeah.
And you're not really watching anything, you're just straight to sleep?
I read the Bible.
For real?
Yes.
Seriously, you sit and read the Bible?
Yes.
Tell me this, I've got 3 kids. You've got 4 kids. Would you recommend my wife and I going for a 4th?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
The richest thing that you can have is as many children as possible.
So are you saying you would roll for a 5th?
For 7.
Shut up, you want 7 kids.
Yes.
And have you and Kim talked about this? This is something that you'd like to do?
Yes.
7 children?
Yes.
So beautiful. I need to talk to my wife.
That's for sure. His love will never fade. He's sovereign, and that's for sure. He reigns for eternity.
No other love?
No other love compares.
People that will say, I don't believe it. I don't believe
the reawakening of that Kanye is saying he's having. I don't believe, if I look at the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of his life, I don't believe that this can be as night and day as it is. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that you
would be one day living your life in one way and now saying everything is for this. I'm not sure I believe it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'd say, when you go to sleep, would you agree that you are asleep when you are asleep? And when you wake up, would you agree that you are awake when you are awake?
Yeah.
Would you agree that those are two different states? People who don't believe are walking dead. They are asleep. And this is the awakening.
That's it, we're down.
Love you, brother. Thank you very much.
And let's thank Mr. Cornyn. Thank Mr. West.
You've learned to not be excited. My default position, as I said, tends to be skeptical. And to be honest, I think I need to be delivered from the skeptical heart, the skeptical spirit that I walk with kind of regularly. Whatever transpires in the long run as it relates to Kanye's relationship with the Lord, the Bible tells us this. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And right now, as far as we can tell, Kanye West is rejoicing in his recent conversion. I'm awake. That's what is happening. And we, as God's people, ought to be the first to rejoice with Kanye in his awakening. But in that, we're not simply rejoicing with Kanye, we're rejoicing with all of heaven. Jesus said this, "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So if we join our voices and our hopes and our hearts with rejoicing with Kanye, for Kanye, we are also adding our rejoicing to the rejoicing that is taking place in heaven over the repentance of one lost individual. Here's the truth. Kanye has nothing to prove to me. He has nothing to prove to any one of us in this room. Who are we to stand back and go, you know, I'll believe it 20 years from now. I will believe it when he has a different wife, because we don't approve of his wife. which would demand on his part a divorce, something that we're against. I'll believe it, fill in the blank. I struggle with hopefulness. My gut reaction, my knee-jerk reaction to this kind of experience, whether it's Kanye or somebody else, is one of skepticism. I need to be delivered of that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Kanye is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing. And who are we to stand back and say, no, they're not rejoicing yet? We are called to hopefulness, aren't we? Aren't we called to hopefulness? Aren't we called to channel our minds as much as it is within our control, to channel our minds down the direction of hopefulness? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things, the Bible calls us. Channel our thinking wherever we can down a path of hopefulness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians as a whole came to be known as the people who believe the best about others and who demand the most of themselves? Wouldn't that be great if our reputation, broadly and deeply, if you talk to somebody who knows a Christian, their first thought about as Christians isn't what they're against, what they don't believe in, what they don't hope for, but that is a band of people who are hopeful and who believe the best about others and who demand the most of themselves. So what are we to do with this kind of news, whether it's Kanye or somebody else? I believe we're to be more hopeful and less skeptical. Secondly, I think it's appropriate for us to be more grounded than we are giddy. There is something of a stepchild opinion we have of ourselves. We need to be grounded, more grounded than we are giddy. What I mean by this, Kanye's coming to the Lord doesn't validate Jesus. Jesus validates Jesus. We don't need the salvation of Kanye. We don't need Mel Gibson, the sexiest man alive, to write a move to make a movie about Jesus in order for Jesus to be legit. Jesus can handle his own reputation. This is great news, what has happened in Kanye's life, what appears to be happening. But in one way, nothing has changed. Kanye's salvation does not validate Jesus Christ. And there are times when famous people or people of power come into the faith and we kind of lose our mind and get all giddy about this. Sometimes in such a way that it's not helpful for the recent conversion. It seemed to me that we did as a church, Gary Busey, a disservice when a week after his conversion, he's standing up at Promise Keepers preaching. It seemed to be a disservice to him. And we were taking his reputation, so to speak, and kind of trying to get some additional clout for what we believe in. We don't need the confession of a famous person in order for what we believe to be true. So we need to be grounded to some extent. We ought not to be giddy. When a famous Christian falls, it doesn't legitimize our faith. When one comes into the faith and they don't persevere, it doesn't mean that the faith wasn't real, and it doesn't mean that our belief is compromised. God is on his throne. When famous people come to the Lord and over time they fall away, when they get saved and they stay saved, God is on his throne in the exact same way that he was when people don't persevere. Kanye's salvation does not add legitimacy to the call or to the belief system of Christians. But here it is. Kanye's salvation does affirm something that you and I believe in. It does affirm something that at least something that we ought to believe in with great hope and with great confidence and with great zeal. And it is this, that Jesus is a Savior who saves. Jesus is a Savior who saves. He's not simply the Savior who has already done his saving. He is a Savior who is right now saving. So we ought not to be surprised when famous people and non-famous people get saved. When we see people get saved, whether they're famous or not, we ought to go in our mind, yeah, of course they're getting saved. But Jesus is a Savior who saves. Maybe our faith is a little bit smaller than it ought to be. We can believe that God will save kids who grew up in Sunday school. But people who sing the way Kanye has sung, and people who live the way Kanye has lived, and people who relate to people that Kanye relates to, well, you know, yeah, of course God saves, but when it happens, we don't believe it. It's just an affirmation of something that we already believe, right? Can Jesus even save Kanye? Man, can Jesus save even Kanye? Can Jesus save even Kanye? He saved me? Can he save even Kanye? Absolutely. And can we be happy about this? We had better be. We had better be. So, what are we to do with all of this? And I'm trying to keep myself on the rails. What do we do with Kanye? Well, we ought to be more hopeful than skeptical. We ought to be more grounded than giddy. And then we ought to be prayerful. Somebody or several of you said we ought to be in prayer for him. It is not an easy thing to live for Jesus in this day and age. Well, it's never been easy to live for Jesus in any age. It's not an easy thing for a rich man to come to Jesus. What is true for us, that it's not an easy thing to follow Jesus, is going to prove true for Kanye, that it won't be easy to follow and to continue with him. So pray as far as ourselves go, let's pray against skepticism. For the church, let's pray against giddiness. We can be skeptical because of Kanye's past life. James Corden, you know, people are going to find it difficult to believe after the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your life. It's going to be difficult. They're going to be skeptical. Skeptical because of whatever's going on currently that we don't give our approval to. Pray for Kanye because, and here's the truth, Kanye's fame, Kanye's wealth, Kanye's significance works as a buffer, will work as a buffer between him and God. Those who have a level of fame are buffered in pursuing God. Those who have a level of wealth are buffered in their relationship with God. Jesus said this, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man. There's a buffer there. When you have significance and you're seen as a significant person, you can begin to believe your own press, and that works as a buffer between you and the Lord. And so we pray for Kanye, that the natural buffers that would keep him from pursuing God for a long time, that those buffers, those things would be brought low and of no consequence, and he would follow God in the same way that you pray against the things that buffer you from the Lord. The temptations that you are prone to go into, the way that you trust in yourself, we pray that that would be brought low, that a relationship with God would continue and it would be sincere and it would be long. So what do we do? We take a look at our own heart. May we be more hopeful. May we be less skeptical. May we be more grounded. May we be less giddy. May we be prayerful about ourselves and in particular for Kanye. Now, I'm going to go to a second video, and this is going to help me make my final point by taking a look at this video. And there's maybe a little bit of awkwardness in getting to this video, so... We're going to go ahead and wait for it because we need to see this, but I set it up early and I may have caused an issue. What's that? The computer froze? Oh. you going to have to reboot it? Oh, yeah, we're Pentecostal, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to do what we did when I was in Bible college my freshman year. We went toward Houston to do something that was foolhardy. Freshmen's going to preach revival. Four of us freshmen, and the car broke down on the way out of Springfield, and, you know, Herb's old Nova. And he goes, I got some motor oil in the back. You want to lay hands on the hood? So we got the motor oil out, laid hands on the hood. Stupid thing started. Got us all the way to Houston, Texas, and all the way back. All right. All right, let me know when you're ready. I'm going to go and move forward just a little bit. What you're about to see is John Plake on with Fox and Friends last Saturday morning talking about an initiative that the American Bible Society is processing through. I asked him how this went down, and he was reading me in on it when time came up and I had to come to the pulpit last Sunday. And so here's in my mind how it went down. Somewhere at a board at a staff meeting at the American Bible Society last week, people were talking like they always do, and they're asking themselves the question, hey, what's up with Kanye? You know, because, you know, water cooler conversation. And then I don't know who, but somebody said, hey, you know, we give Bibles away. Let's do what we can to give Bibles away to Kanye West fans. And the story went from that that little conversation to John. He was quoted in several different places, and Fox News called him up and said, hey, we'd like to bring you in here and have an interview with you. And so I thought this was genius. I thought I would like to, in my approach to people who are lost and who are far from God, I would like to be more nimble like that. I would like to be more opportunistic in reaching out to those who are far from God in the way that the American Bible Society did, taking advantage of this opportunity. So people are talking about Kanye in the way that we're talking about Kanye right now. What do you think? I think it's a joke. What do you think? I think it's great. What do you think? I think the album's the best album he ever did. What do you think? I think it's the worst album he ever did. What do you think? Well, you know, he's going to have to prove it to me. What do you think? I'm going to get saved too. What do you think? Conversation is going on. People are talking about Jesus. And the American Bible Society says to itself, we need to get Bibles into the hands of people who think Kanye's great. An opportunity presented itself, and they rolled with it. Again, I think the initiative is genius. Here's what they're doing. They're taking an opportunity to reach out to people who are far from God. And said, the iron's hot right now. Let's strike right here where the iron is hot. No matter what you think about what's going on with Kanye, and what you think doesn't matter, but no matter what you think about what's going on in Kanye right now, there are a large number of people who, because of Kanye, are talking about Jesus who weren't talking about Jesus a month ago. And that's never a bad thing. And to be a church and think, this is going on, let's do what we can to assist these people who are talking about Jesus, maybe for the first time ever, and have no understanding who Jesus really is, because we're living in an age when people don't really have an understanding of who Jesus is, except for he's a reason to get gifts on Christmas, maybe. Maybe that he died. To me, this is kind of advice of Jesus Christ that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He said, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents. We're getting there. And gentle as doves. Yeah, we're just waiting for the commercial to finish, right? Perfect. I'll leave it there because this is about to come up.
Rapper Kanye West taking fans on a deep personal journey about his relationship with Christianity in his new album, Jesus is King. The album has spurred a massive spike in online searches for scripture passages and Christian ideas.
So much so that our next guest decided to launch a new initiative offering free Bibles to Kanye fans interested in learning more. Joining us now to discuss, Director of Ministry Intelligence at the American Bible Society, Dr. John... Say that for me, just so I...
Farquhar
Blake. I never like to get people's names wrong, because my name is Jedediah, and everybody gets that wrong. But this is actually amazing, I think, what Kanye is doing in terms of just, there's so many people out there who are questioning religion now as a result of him even talking about it. So why did you decide to give these Bibles out?
Well, you know, anytime we have an opportunity to hear a cultural influencer out there talking about their faith and talking about the Bible, the American Bible Society just wanted to be in the middle of that conversation. You know, we think the Bible is the source of Kanye's faith, of my faith, of many Americans' faith. And so when we can step into that space where people are curiously asking questions about the Bible and really, what does it say and what does it mean and what happened in Kanye's life, we can then give them the source of all of that information in the Bible. And it's fun to be able to step into that space.
You know, I've met directors of military intelligence. I've never met a director of ministry intelligence. Talk to me about that title, because it goes along with what you're attempting to do here.
You know, we realize that culture's always changing. I mean, we've got urbanization and globalization and immigration and all kinds of things that end in shun, right? And so when the world is changing around us, we need to make sure that as the Bible Society, though the Bible doesn't change, when culture changes and the questions they're asking change, we need to make sure we're answering the right questions. And so this is a typical kind of response from the Bible Society when people are asking questions about what do Christians believe. We want to be there providing the Bible, which is an unchanging source of information about our faith.
You know, there's an interesting new 2019 Pew Research poll that says 64% of millennials attend church a few times a year or less. So one of the blocks that I think Kanye is speaking to are these young people who maybe aren't going to church, who really haven't thought about religion, who are more agnostic or even consider themselves more atheist, who are now beginning to reconsider that. What role can someone who has such a big name and reputation like Kanye have, and what kind of impact on young people who are in that group that we just saw in that poll?
You know, I just want to affirm what the Pew Research team has discovered. You know, we do an annual State of the Bible research study, and our study tells us that there are 60 million Americans who are what we would consider unchurched. They maybe go to church once every 6 months, maybe not. But what's fascinating is that so many of them are curious about the Bible. 60 million unchurched Americans are curious about what the Bible has to say. And so we want to step into that space. I think Kanye, as a social influencer, in some ways may be closer to people than their next door neighbor. And if your neighbor came to you and said, let me tell you what God's been doing in my life, and maybe you'd give them an opportunity to do that. I think that's what Kanye's doing to millions of young adults.
John, who'd have thunk it? Really, I mean, that it would be Kanye West bringing the message of the gospel to people. He has the potential to reach more people than pastors of megachurches, I mean, with the platform that he has. What kind of game changer is this?
You know, we've really been heartened to see the result. We just simply put up the abs.bible/Kanye offer and said, look, if you're a fan of Kanye West, you've been listening to his music and you're interested in reading the Bible for yourself, you can go there, fill out the form, we'll send you a Bible for free. We didn't know what to expect, but as of Friday, over 2,000 Americans have filled out that form and requested a Bible, and we've just committed ourselves as the Bible Society. As our donors help us do this, we want to be right there saying, we're going to just keep saying yes.
I think it's pretty cool. You guys are doing so. Really appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Doctor, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Isn't that great? And as of Thursday, that 2,000 number is up over 6,000. It hasn't checked. 6,500. So here's the deal. And this was a quote that I came across a week ago, and I can't tell you how much it revolutionized my thinking about the world and the church. And it's maybe the dumbest statement ever written because it's so true. But I'd never had this thought. As a general rule, church people go to church, and non-church people don't go to church. There's your general rule. And I go, that is so right. There is not some large number of people who are not going to church who wish they were in church. And in this thinking, I begin to think, how do we engage people who are non-churchgoers, and we engage them by us doing what we've been called to do when we're not in this building? Simply be witnesses. Simply communicate the love and the reality of Jesus Christ to the people who are next door to us, the people that we work with, every opportunity that we get. Because churchgoers go to church. Non-churchgoers don't go to church. And in my mind, I keep thinking if we just fixed this one thing, we'd be flooded with non-churchgoers. Well, as a general rule, churchgoers go to church. Non-churchgoers don't go to church. So it doesn't matter if I lose a whole lot of weight and put on skinny jeans. I hope to lose some weight. I'm never doing the skinny jean thing. It doesn't matter if I think more thoughtfully how to add jokes to my sermons, that I'm more funny, more compelling. It doesn't matter if we get the whiz-bang band up here and we want to improve in everywhere that we can improve. But the truth is, there is nobody not going to church just wish there was a church that had cool worship that they could go to. How do we engage them? We engage them on the personal level. We believe that the Word of God is powerful, and we believe that our witness is meaningful. And that's what we kind of learned here. Loved ones, here's the deal. These are difficult days for us to witness. But hasn't it always been difficult for God's people to speak to others who are far from God? Truly, our days are difficult, but it's no more difficult than in the first century church when Christians were thrown into jail, when apostles were told, don't do this again or we're going to put you back in jail. Well, this is what's taking, it took place in the first century and it's taking place today. There's always spiritual pushback from the dark spirits when spirits of light are doing their work through God's people. So what ought we to do? We ought to be thoughtful about our witness. We need to be winsome about our witness. We need to be opportunistic about our witness. God will give you an opportunity to speak to somebody about Jesus this week if you simply ask him. And by speak, I mean you will simply communicate your heart and your love for God and your relationship with God, your understanding of the Bible to somebody with your own mouth, and you will listen to what they have to say as somebody who's been created in the image of God and who matters to God. We need to be nimble in our witness, which is what this whole thing, the abs.bible/Kanye, it's nimble, being opportunistic. If I were in a conversation with an unbeliever, especially one who has knowledge of Kanye, or better yet, someone who respects Kanye and thinks he's the best, I might engage them with, hey, what do you think's up with Kanye? Ask them their opinion. What do you think is up with Kanye? And maybe after they walk through this, you just engage in conversation and you may just end the conversation with this. You know what I think about Kanye, or what my hope for Kanye is? I hope Kanye will find Jesus to be everything that he's looking for. And I know that I have. And that might be the end of the conversation. But that might open up a whole new door of opportunity to speak and to witness and to tell of how you've been satisfied in Jesus Christ. You can push it. Can you? Why would Kanye, who has all this fame and has all this recognition and has all these resources at his disposal, why would he be looking for anything else? The answer is clearly none of those things has satisfied him in a way that keeps him where he was. Why is he looking for something else? Because he's looking for satisfaction. I know I was. And probably the same is true for you. There have been times in your life when you've gotten exactly what you asked for, and after you actualized that thing, you were still unhappy. Or you still had moments of disappointment. But what if Kanye says something that isn't completely faithful to the Bible? Well, he will just add his name to people like Brian Smith, who has said stuff through the course of his life, who has had to come back in the pulpit and apologize for making a misstatement about what is true. If he is not fully biblically literate, we ought not to be surprised. But what if Kanye's sanctification proves to be less than finished? By that I mean, what if Kanye publicly sins? Well, God bless him, for when I sin, it's not public. Most of the time, he's probably going to sin. And in that, he's in good company, isn't he? But what if Kanye moves forward and how he lives the rest of his life as far as this business acumen that looks an awful lot like the way that he used to conduct business in the past, that is, trying to make a name for himself, trying to increase his platform? I don't think we ought to be surprised if that's the case. Generally, people who come to the Lord take what they have that isn't particularly sinful and try and leverage it for the Lord. It may look to us like vanity. It may be marked with vanity. But if he goes forward and he's doing what he can to increase his platform, and his understanding is, as I increase my platform, I get to speak about Jesus a little bit more. Maybe he's doing the same thing. Maybe it's not particularly helpful, but maybe he's doing it with the heart that is after God. When people who have resources come to the Lord, they take their resources and they use them for the Lord, right? He just happens to be so public that we struggle sometimes with that. But here it is. What if this proves to be nothing more than a spectacular publicity stunt? What if a year from now, what if a month from now, Kanye comes on TV, it's Christmas Eve, and they're asking about Jesus, and he just says, psych, this has been a joke. Thanks for buying my album. What if? What if that is what is going on? Well, as of today, we know 6,500 people have requested a Bible that hadn't requested a Bible. What if it's the worst case scenario? Jesus' name has been spoken, it has been heard, and people are talking about it, and people are coming to the Lord. Not because they're committing their life to Kanye, but because they see what seems to be a visible transformation, and there's churches that are taking opportunity and saying, here is who Jesus is. He is wonderful, and he wants to have you part of his life. So, what are we to do about Kanye? We're to be hopeful. We are to be welcoming. We are to be grounded. I think we ought to take a look at what the American Bible Society is doing and say, no, we need to be as opportunistic as that. We should be prayerful, and we should be thankful. What if I don't know anything about Kanye? What if I don't know anybody who knows anything about Kanye? Well, here's something you can do. The American Bible Society now has a $30,000 plus unbudgeted expense in getting Bibles out to people who are fans of Kanye. I don't think anybody, when the budgeting meeting for 2019 said, hey, let's set aside $40,000 for Kanye fans. I doubt that there was somebody who was that prescient, who had that understanding. If you have nothing you can do, you can go on the American Bible Society's webpage. You can purchase Bibles, as many as you want. They come at $5 a pop. The board on Tuesday said we're going to be giving monthly to the American Bible Society. But beyond that, that's just simply the Kanye thing. What do we learn? Let me simply say this. If you will ask God to give you opportunity to speak of his name to people who are around you who don't know him, he's going to give you that opportunity. But most of us wake up and we just go through our day. We don't even ask God for the opportunity. And in not asking God for the opportunity, we are frequently blind to the opportunities that present themselves. Maybe if we slowed down enough on the way out that they said, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to speak about you to somebody else? We'd be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. This is it. This is it. Man, I used to snap good. This is it. And you go, oh my gosh, I've had that same opportunity a dozen times already. I was just blind to it. Ask God to give you opportunities, engage people on the topic of God where you can. And you can be sure that he will provide you with those opportunities. Are you thankful for what God seems to be doing in Kanye's life? Do you want to be a good witness for God's glory wherever you are? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the confidence that we have in knowing that you are our Savior and you are saving. We thank you for the spiritual awakening that has taken place in Kanye West's life, and we thank you for all the attention that it is drawing to you. I pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts, in the minds, in the spirits, in the souls of people who are wondering what's going on with Kanye, and your name comes to the top of the list. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through their skepticism, you would speak through their criticism, you would speak through their giddiness, that, Lord, you would give people ears to hear what the Spirit says, and the Spirit is saying to Kanye West fans and to people all across this globe today, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Father, we recognize that there is a responsibility on our part as those who have been given this rest to speak of it to others. So whether or not the trigger that starts a conversation is Kanye West or my pet passed away this week and I'm just so grieved, or I lost my job, or I just got a great promotion, whatever the trigger is, Lord, would you make us sensitive to your spirit to loosen our lips to speak of you, for you are wonderful. And you are the answer for the ache that all of humanity carries within its soul. Help us to be ministers of reconciliation. Help us to be ambassadors of hope for your glory and in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you love one another? Thank you. Yes, sir.